We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. My pick of the week today is game three of the Stanley Cup final. Game four. Tampa's a 2-1 lead. That's the game I watched the other night. Nikita Kucherov to score the first goal of the game is plus 1,400. That's what I'm going with. Maybe a little bit of a long shot, but you can win some good money over there. So that's my recommendation. DraftKings Sportsbook, head on over there. If you haven't signed up yet, you can win $100 on a $1 bet on any NFL team this week. Pick the winner for $1, win $100. Use code DNVR when you sign up to get in on all of the amazing deals. If that's not your thing, obviously you can bet on hockey as well, basketball, baseball, you name it, you can bet on it with DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, sign up with the DNVR code. Other conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. Be sure to head there and check out DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I am your host, Nathan Rudolph, joined by AJ Haefeli, as always, talking a little bit of draft on today's show with special guest Grant McCagg, founder of recruits.ca. Grant, good to have you on. How you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas.
Good to hear it. Everyone's holding up well. We're less than 2 weeks away from the draft, so it's that time of year, even if it is a different time of year, for that to be happening. How's this class shaping up for you, Grant?
Well, it's I think it better not be any more shaping up. It's been shaping up for 12, 14 months now.
Long enough, fair enough.
Yeah. I'm out of shape with how much shaping up there's been going on here. So, yeah. But no, it's I mean, I stopped trying to alter the rankings a while back. I did my list and that's that. You know, I've made a couple of little tweaks, but I mean, you could keep changing your draft list daily if you wanted to. So at some point you just have to put it to rest and just kind of ignore it and just wait for the draft to get here, basically.
Yeah, we kind of ended up here. So how much of a consideration, if any, are you putting into some of these players are playing right now, particularly in the European leagues? Can these guys raise their stock at all, or is everyone pretty set?
I think everyone's pretty set. You know, it's not like they're playing a championship games or anything like that. You know, I mean, Lucas Raymond, everybody was fawning over him, scoring a couple exhibition goals and stuff like that. Well, I don't, you know, I mean, it's just because we're seeing him. I mean, Jack Quinn could be doing the same thing, or Marco Rossi, but they're not playing. So you can't penalize guys for not playing and raise a guy ahead of him because he scored a couple of goals early in the season or even in exhibition. You can go watch the games and you can maybe confirm it, you know, more than anything, just confirm that a guy's still going to be in your top 10 or whatever. You know, I think a guy may fall down a little bit more so than a guy, you know, raising his draft stock, I think, at the start of the season.
All right. So hurt yourself more than help yourself at this point. The draft, there's one guy set at the top, but the first conversation you have to have is Stützle versus Byfield. Are the general consensus seems to have Stützle at 2 right now. Are you in the same boat?
Yes, I am. I have Byfield at 4, so.
So you're low on Byfield then?
Well, I guess. I mean, one spot in the rankings, you know. Like people, they almost every year, if I have a guy one spot lower than the consensus, it's like, oh, you hate this guy, you know. Well, no, you know. I mean, 4th overall is a pretty good spot. There's been some pretty exceptional hockey players. I can think of one. His name's Cale Makar, who was drafted 4th overall. So, you know, it's no slap in the face to have three guys ranked ahead of you in the draft. I mean, it's just a ranking, and you know, well, none of us ever get the first five guys right. Not the NHL guys, not us. You know, the top five picks in an NHL draft are never the five best players from the draft ever. So you can't get too wrapped up in it. But anyways, back to your question. I guess didn't really answer it, right? Stützle and Byfield. I just think that the German has more offensive upside at the end of the day. So you have to rank him ahead of Byfield. You love the 6'5" center, but people kind of fall in love with that. And you know, well, he's 6'5" center, so he's going to be the next Thornton or the next Primo or the next Lindros or whatever. Well, he's not that good. You know, I mean, he's very good, but just because he's 6'5" and puts up some points doesn't mean that he's automatically going to be those guys. So I think there's a limit to his offensive upside. I don't know that he'll ever be a point-a-game scorer. And because of that, I think you have to give the nod to the German because I think that he'll be a point-a-game scorer.
All right.
How do you like his fit out in out in Los Angeles with all those other prospects?
A point per game scorer is a fit in any organization.
Sure.
You know, he'll probably be their, I think he'll be their best player down the road. Like, you know, if you had to pick between him, Vilardi and Turcotte, I'd say, you know, Stützle is going to end up being the guy. And it'll be interesting to see if they try him at center. I mean, Vilardi, all three of those guys could be centermen, but they could also end up on the wing. You know, it's similar in New Jersey with, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, who are going to be their top three centermen? They have like 4 guys, 5 guys that could play either. And that's the beauty of picking a guy that can play center or does play center. He can always end up on the wing because the transition is usually pretty seamless.
All right. We started at the top, but we do have a quick moving show today, so I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. Grant, who do you have for the Avs at 24? What's your bet?
Oh, geez. I guess I should have looked back at my mock. Eh? I don't know if I even remember. You got it in front of you?
I don't. AJ,
yeah, well, geez, thanks.
You give me a second, I can grab it.
There you go.
Okay. I can too.
You can just tell me that you had him and I'll believe you. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can, I'll tell you in a minute here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my memory isn't what it used to be, lads.
What?
Jacob Perreault.
You have Perreault going to him. Okay.
I do. Yeah. You finally get your own Tippett there, AJ.
I tell you, we've been I've been waiting a long time.
There are some similarities I find between the two players, actually. You know, they're both drive you a little nuts away from the puck at times, and if he can figure it out, just the same with Tippett there, he can be a 25 to 35 goal scorer in the NHL, and every team would love to have one of those guys.
Yeah, so what's the fear with Perreault?
When he doesn't have the puck, even when he does have the puck, he's not always skating hard, you know. He's a little lazy, I guess. But there's the skill is there. I mean, it was funny at the top prospects combine. It was like, what the heck? This guy's top five in all of the skating categories. Well, why don't you see that in the game, you know? It's like because he doesn't work hard enough all the time. So, I mean, we've seen players in the past that do figure that out, right? So that's the hope that he does figure out that at the NHL level, you're not going to just be able to get by on your talent. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to compete hard, and he figures that part out, and he could be a really good player. So at 24 in the draft, I think you have to start looking at the risky guys a little more seriously, because they could end up, he could end up being a top 15, even a top 10 player from this draft. So at 24, that's hard to pass.
I'm curious about your thoughts on a guy like Anton Lundell, because I know you have him ranked quite a bit lower than most other people. I would just like to delve into that a little bit.
Sure.
So is it just the feet, or are there other question marks about his overall game that have you a little bit more, let's say, cautious with your excitement about Lundell's future?
I don't know that, you know, he's a terrific offensive player. I think he's very good, but it's mostly the feet. That's a pretty important one, you know. It's for some guys that's they think it could be a fatal flaw. Like, I mean, I know some NHL scouts that aren't sure that he can be a fourth line center in the NHL, let alone the second line. So. You know, when you hear comments like that, I don't get to see these European guys live too much, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can watch all the video you want, but nothing beats being at the rink and seeing a guy skating. These guys have done that, and a lot of them have serious questions about his, you know, there's a difference between playing in Europe and then playing in the NHL. There's no league like it. And you see it in the playoffs, just the high pace of the games. And you can be smart, you can be big, you can have good puck skills, but if you can't keep up, it's tough to be a center in the NHL. I mean, Tyson Jost is a good example of a kid that has so much going for him. You know, you love his compete, you love his smart, you love his puck skills, but is he going to be fast enough to be a top two center in the NHL? I think, you know, I mean, you picked him top 10 in the draft to do that. Well, at the end of the day, that's still got to be the question mark. So I think, you know, that just as a comparable, that type of, in that instance where, I don't know that he can be a top two center in the NHL. I really don't. Maybe he's a third line center. Maybe he's a third line winger. But that's the issue, and it's an important one. So some guys have overcome it. A lot of guys don't.
a pretty big variance there between you know, trying to get a top two center out of the guy, and then is he
trying to get an NHLer at all? Yeah,
yeah. Is he going to be a fourth line player or not?
Well, yeah. I mean, it surprised me when I did hear those comments, because, you know, I mean, last year especially, like, well, this guy's playing, you know, underage. He's playing against 20-year-olds and looking good, and the whole works. But this year, it really stuck out that his skating hasn't been getting better, and other guys have caught him and passed him in that regard. And you wonder if, you know, if he can be a top nine player in the NHL. Certainly at center, top three center, you got to be able to skate.
Seems every day the NHL is getting to be a faster league, more skating oriented league. But we do need to take our first break right there and acknowledge WGT, DNVR's gaming sponsor. This weekend, live right now, we have a tournament going on, the DNVR WGT Major, where the first place winner at the end of the weekend will get a $200 cash prize. Second place gets $100, and the third place gets a DNVR shirt, hat, and sticker pack of their choice. So if you haven't joined yet, now is the time to do it. You can go ahead and pick it up by going to dnvrgolf.com and search for DNVR3 to join our clubhouse, get in the tournament. You get one shot at it. You can take as many practice rounds as you want, but when you sign up for the tournament, you get one goal. It's closest to the hole on Beth Page Black. Make sure to stick it close. Try to win yourself some money. It runs through Sunday night, so you got all weekend to do it. Jump on it. Get in there. Have fun with us. Again, dnvrgolf.com. Search DNVR3 to join the clubhouse and get into the tournament. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Talking draft with Grant McCagg. Grant, continuing, I guess, this conversation towards let's talk about the later rounds of the first in general. You have Perreault going to the Avs. That's a super high bet on skill. Is that what you like to see out of later round picks more often than not? Or is there a conversation about some of these kids, say like a Paterka or a Reichel, that's a little bit more well-rounded in their game?
Yeah, I think you get a mixture of both. You know, you start to see some of the boomer bust type of guys that you start to consider at that point, and also the guys that may only have third line upside but could help you, you know, maybe help you in playoff games, score some goals on the third line, and contribute to a competitive contending team. So, you know, it's funny. I had a CHL coach say to me, well, I'd never pick third liners at any point in the draft, let alone the first round. Well, I'm sorry, but you can keep picking guys that small skilled guys every round that you hope can play in your top six, but, you know, more often than not, they can't play in your bottom six. And you do need those guys. They're an important part. And yeah, you can trade for some, but yeah, I think every year you see that the teams that are at, you know, that are in the semis and the finals have superior bottom line players. It's not just the stars. You need the good mix. So like a player like Jake Neighbors, for instance, you know, maybe he's never a second line guy, but there's so many intangibles with that kid. I think he's going to help teams and maybe even contending teams win playoff games. So when you start to, you know, you start to weigh the Gunlers and the Amarovs against the Neighbors, and you know, I think maybe at that point, certainly a team usually at the end of the first round is a contending team, and maybe they look, well, let's try to fill a third line role. We've got what we think are six top six guys. Let's see if we can't get a guy that can help make our third line good enough to put us over the top. So at that point, maybe you see teams leaning a little more towards need. So anyway, that's my viewpoint on it.
You know, when you're at that part of the drafts, if you are a contending team, you know, like San Jose is going to pick wherever Tampa Bay ends up, 30 or 31, you know, they're in kind of a weird spot. But if you are a Colorado or a St. Louis or a Dallas, Vegas, one of those teams, you know, how do you balance that desire for a guy like Gundler and a guy like Neighbors? Because in your mock draft, you have them going 29 and 30. And those are two super different guys with very, very different careers in front of them.
Well, I think, you know, a team that needs top six talent is maybe going to be a little more likely to take a chance on a boom or bust type of guy. Whereas when you've got a team like, you know, that Vegas or what have you, well, you know, maybe they have their top six guys for the future and stuff, and this guy is probably not going to play in your top six. So you go with the guy that you really think can play and can play on your third line and be a contributor to a contender. So I think, you know, like a San Jose is more likely to go with a boom or bust type player because they need it. They need a guy that booms, you know. they don't need the surefire third line guy that usually teams that aren't contenders have piles of bottom line players. That's the problem. So I think, you know, that's where you where the difference is, and where you might see a contender say, well, I think this guy can play for us. And Neighbors is a good example. I think he can play in the NHL within a couple of years. So, you know, a contending team looks at that and says, well, geez, if he can be in our third line in 2 or 3 years and contributing, that's, you know, or we pick a Gundler who's probably not going to crack our top six for at least 3 or 4 years and may not play at all. Let's go with the character guy that we think can play within a couple of years, maybe even a year.
You know, we've seen Boston do this a little bit in recent years when they took Trent Frederick, and then last year they took John Beecher. You know, those are not guys with a lot of really high-end upside. Those are them using first-round picks on very specific role players. So I think I've always found this conversation interesting, and for the first time in a very long time, we actually get to apply it to the Avalanche because they're actually at the back half of the first round for once.
For the record, AJ is the resident John Beecher lover on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I like him for what he is, yes.
Okay. Well, I certainly would not have picked either of those guys in the first round. You know,
I was surprised with Beecher. That was a lot.
Yeah. Frederick, maybe even more so, you know. I think, yeah. Those two surprised me a bit. You know, I mean, I'm going to always defend the guy I've got ranked 30 that's a character guy over the guy I've got ranked 50 that goes in the top 30, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I know what, yeah, that's a very good example, AJ, of a team doing that and thinking, you know, well, this guy, we can plug this guy hopefully into a key role in 2 or 3 years. And we'll see.
It's interesting because at the time where Boston was, I thought that those picks, you know, they made sense in the context of looking for depth guys. But now, you know, they're staring down the barrel of serious free agency losses, getting a little bit older and maybe slipping out of some of their contention window because some of their high-end guys either are going to leave or they're going to age out. You look at guys like Frederick, you look at guys like Beecher, and it's like as they slip out of that contention, you know, where they're championship contenders to now they're a team that's going to make the playoffs pretty comfortably, but you don't really think that they're going to be able to win 4 rounds anymore. I think that that's going to come back to hurt them because drafting like that, you know, you do it maybe once, it's one thing, but if you get into the habit of doing it, it's going to come back to haunt you at some point because you're not drafting high-end talent. And so it feels like on draft day, you're putting limits on exactly what you're going to be able to get down the road from these guys. And again, you do it once, you're trying to find something specific, and if you get it right, great, that's awesome. But if you keep doing it, it feels like your approach to the draft is it feels like they put limits on themselves.
I agree completely. Doing it once maybe, but yeah, 2 years in a row. And I mean, obviously they had these guys ranked in their first round, you know.
Yeah,
they like these guys more than I did. So maybe Beecher has more offensive upside than most of us other than yourself think, you know. But I agree. As a rule, I think teams pick, like, they're not going to pick a guy that's, they have ranked 10 spots lower because they think we need a character guy. And, they're going to be at the top of the draft list, you know, if not the first guy, well, one of the first guys. But how much emphasis did they put on getting these character guys and making their final draft list too, though? So it's complicated, but I agree completely that I don't think that they should have gone with two guys in a row that I know they said after they got Beecher, oh, he can be a second line guy and this and that, but certainly the majority of NHL scouts don't think that. So.
Well, and I know they, you know, just using the Frederick example, they took some heat because they kind of came out and said, hey, we hope that this guy's a third line guy for us someday. And I know that there were people who were like, well, then why did you take him in the first round? And, you know, now that Colorado's kind of in this range where we're talking about, oh, do you take a guy that's a little safer? Or do you take more of a Jacob Perreault type and you roll the dice with some skill and some upside? You know, safe as death is one of the big phrases that you hear in hockey all the time. And I think it certainly applies to trying to project teenagers into the league. If a guy doesn't have high-end upside when he's in juniors, I think you're dreaming if you're, and you might be delusional if you start trying to project some of these guys to be really high-end NHL players.
Well, I have to admit, AJ, I think I was influenced to a certain degree by you with that choice of Perreault there, because all these years you keep, oh, we got to get a goal scorer. So, I'll admit that, maybe I haven't been up to date on it and you have a different tune now, but I did think of you when I slotted him in at 24. I have to admit that.
Well, I released a piece today on our site about guys that I think are good fits for the Avs, and I have Perreault on the list. So,
good.
I don't have any objection to the pick. I like the player. I think the fit is good. And at some point, like, Colorado's done a good job of getting a lot of talented guys with a lot of different skill sets, but getting and developing just a really high-end goal scorer outside of Mikko Rantanen, who does a whole lot of other things for them,
too. Besides not to shoot a lot.
Yeah. The goals, the really exciting goal scorer is still something that system lacks, outside of, I guess, like Alex Bocage and maybe Alex Newhook as well.
Yeah. I think there's a good fit there if he, as I said in my mock draft, this kid shows up at training camp and he looks at the work ethic of, McKinnon, who's arguably one of the top three players in the league. And, you know, if that doesn't rub off on you, well, if he can't be inspired by, you know, a superstar that works as hard as he does, then he isn't going to figure it out in any organization. So I think that it's a good fit in that way, where there's going to be some really great mentorship from McKinnon and the like, Landeskog as well. There's really good role models there, and I think it can rub off on him, and he could become, well, I mean, you know, down the road playing with either Newhook or McKinnon, he's going to have the playmaker there too that can really, if he figures it out, I think this kid could be a 35-goal scorer for the Avalanche down the road. So that's a pretty nice chip to pick up at 24th overall.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but what kind of beer are you drinking? I know you got a beer. No one can see you, but what kind of beer is it?
I am drinking a Maritime beer, Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale.
Excellent.
From Nova Scotia.
I will have to pick some up the next time, if ever, I'm in Canada again. But if you want a Colorado beer instead, Breckenridge Brewery is the beer for you. We have 8 different beers from them on tap down at the DNVR bar. If you want to come on down and get some of that, or of course you can use the Breck Beer Locator online to find some near you. I think we even have heard some stories of some of it entering Canada. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's all over the United States at this point. So one of our big beer sponsors there, we really appreciate them. They've been a long time sponsor with us. So if you haven't tried Breck Brew yet, they have a beer for everyone. Now is the time to do it. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Grant, we've hit on some of the guys that you don't love that are slated to go in the first round, like Lundell. So I'm curious on the other end. Have you identified any guys that you think could be risers on draft day? Any dark horses for the first round?
Not a lot of dark horses, really. I think most of the guys in my first round are slated to go in the first. I guess one exception would be Evangelista. Perhaps he's not ranked in a lot of first rounds. And he ended up playing on the first line in London. And there's just so much respect for Dale Hunter. Like, he almost does a scouting for you, you know. If this guy thinks that a player is a first line guy as a in his draft year, then you know that he really likes his all-around game, maybe more so than a lot of independent scouts do. It's rare that a London player that's 17, 18 years old plays on their first line. So that alone, I think, it's just testament to just how good this kid is already. And he's got 2 more years under Dale Hunter, and he's only going to get better. Kid makes a lot of plays. He's always with the puck. He's always creating offense. And I think, I mean, you saw it with a guy like Thomas. And I mean, I can go on and on that just, you know, after they're drafted, they just keep getting better and become really solid NHLers. So that to me is a guy that I think will go higher than you see on a lot of draft lists and is a pretty good prospect. Obviously, Jake Sanderson is the obvious one for me. I've got him ranked 3rd overall, and I don't think anyone else has him that high, but I really see a lot of Heiskanen-like qualities there to his game. Obviously, he's not going to be – I mean, Miro's reached another level offensively, and perhaps Sanderson's never that good offensively, but – one-on-one defender, skater, mobility, transition with the puck, getting it out of his own zone. He's just such a great skater, and there's a lot of upside there. And I think that's the guy that's going to go higher than a lot of people think.
With a player like that on the board, we've talked about Gundler and Neighbors as well. The Avs don't have a second-round pick, and the conversation AJ and I have had on this podcast is maybe the Avs should look into moving back. Is that a consideration in this draft and in general? Is that something teams should look to do a bit more often? Are you more of a use your first-round picks, pick high, or a bit more of a value by commodity, get as many picks as you can type?
Well, that's a good question. I think if obviously you look at it as your pick gets closer, and if the players that you have in your top 20s say are 24, and there's no one that you just say, well, geez, I gotta have this guy, then, you know, maybe you pick up the phone and you chat with, I don't know, Ottawa, say. It'd be nice to have the 28th and the 33rd pick or the 28th and the 51st pick, you know, move back a few places, get do a swap with them if Ottawa really has a guy that they, you know, it depends. It takes two to tango in this instance, you know. There's a team that really loves a player that they're willing to move up and give a nice, you know, two or three draft picks that are still in the top 60. And, and you don't really love any of the players that are on the board and you think that you'll still be there at 28 or what have you, the guy that you'll probably like the most, then you consider it, especially, as you say, because they don't have a couple of, you know, they only have one in the top 60. So a team like Colorado, I think, might be more susceptible to making a deal like that.
Why I'm just kind of sticking on the idea of moving around. It seems like every year there's a team in the top 10 that talks about moving up, moving down, and then we just don't ever see those teams do anything. Why do you think that we've seen the death of the top 10 pick getting traded for another pick, I should say, because we've seen them involved in player trades.
Right. Usually, you know, a top 10 pick, you're getting a player that you really like, you know. It's if you're picking 8, you probably got a guy in your top 5, you know. You're picking 10, you probably got a guy in your top 7. Well, you think that you're going to get a guy that's one of the top 7 players in the draft. In the salary cap age where, you know, top 10 players are usually playing within a year, entry-level contract, all that, I think, factors in as well, right? I mean, it's so valuable to have an impact player on an entry-level contract when you have a salary cap, because you can get other pieces to help you hope to maybe win a cup while that player is on his entry-level contract. So it's tough to trade away a top 10 pick, I think. Trade down. It just, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you love the guy that you pick in the top 10, you really like. So you know, it's got to be quite an enticing package to get talked into moving down.
Yeah, definitely fair enough. As we kind of winding down the show here, I did have one more question. We haven't really touched on any of the defensemen, particularly in that second tier that could potentially be there when the Avs pick or if they move back for one, something like that. Is there a defenseman that stands out to you at the end of the first, early second round, that kind of range?
Well, I think O'Rourke could be somebody that's on the radar for Colorado at 24, you know. Back to the Sault Ste. Marie, right? At Timmins and O'Rourke. Real character player. I think, I pondered him quite a bit for Colorado, actually, at 24. He's a guy that just, he may end up being a number four D-man with loads of character and intangibles. So for me, that's the guy. That's the guy that Colorado, if he's there on the draft board at 24 and they want another defenseman, I think he's a serious consideration to go to the Avalanche.
Well, now I'm glad we had you on, because neither AJ and I wanted anything to do with him. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Why is that?
Neither one of us have just in our viewings of him, we've been very blah about his game. There hasn't been anything about him that's really stood out to me that says I'm a first round pick. You know, right. I think he's it's an all around package that just sort of feels like vanilla ice cream to me.
That same kind of conversation you were having about the forwards, where The D man I like who will probably be gone there is William Wallander. I want to take a shot on the guy who has the high upside talent. And I'm not sure that O'Rourke has enough talent there. Intangibles are great. They get guys a long way, but
yeah,
not sure I believe in the offense.
Yeah. Well, Wallander, yeah, you can have him. Like, oh boy.
Not a fan?
Oh, I don't, you know, he's big.
Yep.
He's big.
Yeah. Did you see him play in the second half of the season?
I've seen a handful of his games in the junior league. I haven't been able to catch him in the pro league, but
yeah, no, if there's any guy in the first round that I think, you know, there seems to be a Swedish defenseman picked 25 or 20 to 31 every year that, you know, 5 years down the road, you're saying, where the hell is this guy? That's the guy. That's the guy this year, you know. But it's like, oh, we've got to pick another Swedish defenseman at the end of the first round because there's got to be two great Swedish defensemen, you know, every draft. So, I mean, I can go – I'm trying to think of some of the names, but, you know, Anaheim picked one. There's been a few.
Oh, Jacob Larsson, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can go on and on. There's guys
– Minnesota Swedish, took Filip Johansson.
There's a big Swedish defenseman picked – at the end of the first round every year and 5 years down the road, you say, where the hell is this guy? And that's William Wallander this year. O'Rourke is a very good skater. He doesn't do anything poorly. You know, I don't disagree with the vanilla part, but I mean, yeah. You're eating a vanilla ice cream. He's going to slap it right out of your hand. You know,
but, fair enough.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's character all the way. He's captain at 17 years of age. There's a reason for that. You know, the coaches know these guys better than we do. You know, you don't name a kid captain at 17 years of age unless, well, I don't know, Gabriel Landeskog would be an exception. You like that guy?
He's all right.
He's pretty okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't disagree, though, with, you know, he's not big. He's not going to go end-to-end, you know. He's not going to, I don't know. He's not a Heiskanen. And yes, maybe he is only a 5 or 6. But number 5 or number 6 defenseman is a pretty valuable piece. And if he can be a character, real character kid for you that plays on your third pairing for a contender, that's all you're looking for from 20 to 30, I think, is pieces. You want guys that can play.
For sure.
Yeah.
Every pick that's an NHLer is a win to a certain extent, right? So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I do understand, you know, he's not, he doesn't wow anybody, I don't think, you know. And so, but at the end of the day, hey, I didn't have him going to Colorado either. So there you go.
Worked out. Perot it is.
Yeah. You had him going to St. Louis so he can go and try and defend Perot.
There you go.
That's right.
Let me tell you, in that trade, I'll take my chances with Perot.
Yeah. Well, hey, chocolate beats vanilla, right? Yeah. There you go.
All right. I think we're about done. So, Grant, if you want to shout out anything, give people your Twitter handle where they can find your stuff, go for it.
No, I don't want anybody to follow me. I don't want anyone to buy my draft guide. I'm good. Everything's great.
If you want to follow him, he's at Grant McCagg on Twitter. Again, recruits.ca, RAC, I can spell. Hang on. RECRUTES.
Yep.
.ca. Okay. Canadians in your French. I can't do it.
It's not recruits. Come on now.
Be sure to check it out. I know AJ buys his draft guide every year. I'm a little bit new to that scene, but AJ's bringing me into the fold, having joined the DNVR family. So.
Yeah, and for Colorado fans, if you guys pick up a draft guide from Recruits, you'll see an article from me in there as well.
There you go. AJ out here even writing in the draft guide. So pick it up. Be sure to support Grant, he's an amazing dude, does amazing scouting work over here. That's going to do it for us on today's show. Grant, thank you again for coming on. Much appreciated. Appreciated the draft talk from you. AJ, you got another podcast to do, I believe. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And you can support us by getting yourself some Strava Craft Coffee, cold brewed down at the DNVR bar, or head to StravaCraftCoffee.com and use code DNVR20 to get 20% off of your purchase. That's it for us this week. We will be back on Monday. I think Monday we'll be doing a kind of all-around show, and then the rest of the week will be all more draft coverage. So keep it tuned in, and yeah, I guess we'll see you then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.